welcome everyone to another fantastic Jurassic-sized edition of the Nerd Watch. I, of course, am G Money. I am joined by the one and only Format. I am joined by Professor Barry, and I am joined once again by the man who joined us for commentary on Poltergeist. Gannon is in the house this evening as well. It is a Thursday evening here in the lovely island of Maui, approximately 10:30 p.m. on June 11th, 2015.
Sure.
We have just come from a screening of Jurassic World starring Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard.
And dinos.
And lots of dinosaurs. So we are here at Maui Comics and Collectibles doing this podcast. We all went to see it. Even Alika, the man who runs and operates the shop, owns it. He came to come out to watch the show along with his young son and had an experience. That's what you do when you take your kids to the movies. You have an experience, and this is quite the experience. So, everybody, let's go around the table. First off, I do have to vent before we get into Jurassic World. I do have to vent on a couple of trailers.
Here it comes.
I can't reveal anything in the trailer because, according to Professor Barry, he said he wasn't watching the trailer that I'm going to be speaking of now.
I closed my eyes during two trailers. One was for Terminator. The other was... There are a couple of trailers because it's
Point,
that
point Break. You don't want to know what's happening.
No, I don't get careless about Point Break.
We're not going to bring up Jem again, are we?
No, that wasn't.
Don't spoil it for me.
What else was on that? What else was on that thing?
Man from Uncle.
Man from Uncle, the one with Henry Cavill.
Yeah,
the Guy Ritchie film that did not feel anything like a Guy Ritchie film to me at all.
Or the Robert Vaughn TV show.
It felt like an action movie. Like it's big. This big, you know. Explosion-filled action film.
Well, they're not making it for the people of the old school.
I guess, man.
They're not making it for them.
I'm kind of bummed out, man.
They're definitely not just making it for my dad.
Yeah, they're definitely not.
Oh, man. Didn't feel like a Guy Ritchie film at all. But anyway. All right, so the one I'm going to talk about right now before we get into Jurassic World is the Terminator Genesis trailer.
There it is.
Apparently, according to Format, on our way here, he told me that this trailer has been around the internet for quite some time. I had yet to have seen it.
I've seen it.
I did not see it. Can I tell you, I'm not going to spoil it because I think that whole trailer is a spoiler. I will say right now, do not watch that trailer if you have not seen it. I am so angry that they would even remotely hint at the twist in the movie for Terminator Genesis.
Is this on the level of the Terminator Salvation trailer that gave away that Sam Worthington was an android?
Yes, yeah. But even more so, though. This is even more of a...
Because that whole movie hinged on that twist, and it was right there in the trailer.
This is even more of a betrayal, is what this is.
Now, in terms of the movie or in terms of the marketing giving it away?
I'm talking about the, on both counts, right? I'm just talking purely on the Terminator franchise. It is I was so mad. I literally, I don't know if you saw me on the side.
I had my eyes closed.
I threw my hands up in the air and said, "You know what? I don't even have to see this freaking thing anymore." I was so mad. Maybe that's what ruined the enjoyment of Jurassic World for the first 10 minutes for me because fuming about the Terminator Genesis trailer. I was so angry. Mm. But anyway, you didn't see it, obviously.
I didn't, no. Eyes closed.
Gannon, you saw the trailer I'm taking it. Were you as passionately angered as I was about this?
I don't have the same love affair that I used to with the Terminator franchise. Okay. So it didn't really get me that bad. For me, casting the trailer aside, James Cameron signed off on this one. He feels that this is the true third film to his own movie.
That's
a good point. So even with that brought up, that still makes me feel like if he's willing to sign off on it, then that's not going to bug me.
Because he was vocally, I guess, negative of Terminator 3, which I actually kind of liked.
Definitely Salvation.
And Salvation he thought was horrible.
He was the one that, from the areas that I'd read, he was the one that helped them unlock how to keep Arnold in the franchise.
Right.
The whole idea of the flesh eventually getting older if a Terminator doesn't get destroyed. So
right.
So
right.
They consulted with him, and he signed off on it. So
all right.
Even though they spoiled it in the trailer, there's still that part of me that's like, well, you know, if he thinks it's all right, then who am I to say he's wrong?
All right, that kind of makes me feel
it begins and ends with Cameron. So if he's signing off on it, I'll give it a shot, just the same as anyone else. But you're right. It does seem to be a key part of the plot, so it's a weird thing that they just throw out in the middle of the trailer like that.
Yeah, I'm just
hoping there's another twist.
Yeah, there has to be.
That's what I was thinking, too. There might be something a little bit more to it than that.
I was telling Format in the car down here, I said, you know,
really upset.
Everybody looks at Barry when we're about to spoil something.
I'm not even going to say it.
To maintain my innocence in this, guys.
Barry, close your ears.
Earmuffs.
Yes. Just fold them over.
Just fold them right over. I won't even say, but Format, getting to your... what was your impression of the Genesis trailer? Were you as passionately angered as I was?
I don't think anyone can be as passionately angered as you.
Okay, good.
I was a little upset, but, you know, like Gannon said...
That is one huge plot twist. No, and you know, and I never thought about that until now. And you're absolutely right. He did sign off on it. So I mean, I guess I do have to take it with a grain of salt as far as the trailer goes.
If he's going to give it a shot, why shouldn't you?
Why shouldn't I? You're gosh darn right. You're absolutely right. So let's get Barry. Are you sad that you missed this trailer now? Is that what's happening?
Thinking, man, this sounds like a great movie. I can't wait to see it July 1st.
It's
in a way the trailers still work because you got worked up about it. You're still going to see it now just to prove yourself right or wrong.
So
now
so angry, but anyway, I will watch it. You do make a good point about James Cameron. All right, so let's talk about what we're here for. Let's talk about the film that has been hotly anticipated for quite some time. It was on, by the way, gentlemen. It was on Professor Barry's list as the top. I think you said the top grossing film of the summer of 2015.
Mm-hmm. It was my pick, yep.
It was your pick for Jurassic World.
Yep.
Starring Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, who, by the way, was smoking in this movie. I don't know if that was just me. I thought she was smoking.
No.
Is that the redhead?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know what her name was. She was all I know is she did the entire movie in heels.
She did. So let's go around the
Feminism
room.
Feminism is not dead.
It is not, sir. Let's go around the room, starting with you, Professor Barry. What say you on Jurassic World?
I thought it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I like the movie's commentary. I should start off by saying, like, nobody understands commentating on these kind of parks and also exploiting these kind of parks better than Michael Crichton. Watching this movie, I thought about Westworld. I thought about Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
This guy understands how to make fun of this whole thing and mock this whole idea of shameless commercialism, but also make a movie that is shamelessly commercial. He didn't write this, but I think his DNA was all over this film, pun intended.
No, thank you.
Thank you. In terms of the negative, my problem with this movie was continuity. At different points, I kept thinking they could have just called this movie Jurassic Park. They could have just announced that it was a remake, and I don't think anyone would have noticed, honestly.
Interesting.
And in terms of connecting it to the original film, to me, there's all these aspects that didn't really connect. First and foremost, B.D. Wong being back in the film. It's not a cameo. It's a supporting performance. And you get the sense that either he had some kind of form in the original where he is not talking about what happened in the first film, or he's not acknowledging it, or he has amnesia. It was very strange. It kind of reminded me of William Catt in House 3, where he seems to be like a very different character, yet he's in the same movie. B.D. Wong, like, I couldn't for the life of me, like, why isn't he warning them? Isn't he conscious of the implications of this? It seemed like the movie was really going out of its way not to...
I think that question was answered, film. Like, at the climax, wasn't it, don't you think?
Was it?
I would say money was was his key interest in being still involved.
Apparently.
It's so weird. It's such a switch, though, from the original movie.
Yeah.
Because he was the cautious one. He was... And then all of a sudden...
He was the guy with the conscience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right. Now he's just... The highest scholar.
Wouldn't it have made more sense if Hammond had basically bestowed all of his finances and wisdom onto the B.D. Wong character, and B.D. Wong was the guy who was the overseer of the whole park? Wouldn't that have made more sense?
You know, that is funny. That actually went through my
head. Spoilers, by the way, listeners. Sorry, we're going to spoil the hell out of this movie.
Well, that's not necessarily a spoiler, but I will say that you are right about that. That sticks in your craw a little bit.
Just in terms of continuity, and there was also on-screen continuity. And it's funny that this is the second movie I've seen this summer that was shot in Hawaii. And like the other film, There's a lot of continuity problems. There's a scene where the two kids are running away, and all of a sudden the woman who's assigned to watch over them has reappeared.
Yes, I will give you that.
Okay, there must have been some scene where they reunited that probably didn't play well, and the test audience hated it, so they cut it out. So there she is, and they but they need her because she ends up as dino food at some point.
Right, she's the right, absolutely.
Yeah.
So moving on to character wise, this is Colin Trevorrow's first, you could say, big budget film.
Yeah,
obviously.
Second film altogether.
Amazing. What see you about? Because I'm looking at it and I see that his DNA is all over the characters of the film, without a doubt. What do you think? What did you think of the character interactions? Do you think it made it better? Made it worse? Do you think that it was held together by these characters?
I thought the characters were fine. It was a little rushed. I really missed what the first film offered, which was a lot of setup. And the first movie actually still works, even though there's like no action for about 40, 50 minutes. I love all the buildup of the character. I love the establishing of the world. This had it, and then I felt that they kind of started to cut to the action stuff. Like, it felt like very abrupt when the big escape actually happens.
Right.
So it didn't feel, I don't know, like, I suspect that one day maybe we'll get a director's cut that's maybe 20 minutes longer, and it might actually help the film a bit.
Okay.
But as it stands, I like the film, but I feel like you can feel some tinkering in the editing room.
Interesting. Gannon, you were there with us at the premiere. What say you, sir, about Jurassic World?
You know, I haven't really digested it that fully yet.
Wow.
But,
Well, where are you now?
Where am I right now? I was very satisfied with the movie. I could see the same things that Barry sees in it. As far as what I got out of the movie, I feel like it was like a big long checklist of the things that you kind of wish you would have seen the other three movies.
Right.
Like the pterodactyl sequence in particular, that was a big one.
Yeah.
But I also feel like it course corrected what I always thought was the biggest problem with three. When the Spinosaurus Tyrannosaurus Rex fight, it was like right there in the middle of Jurassic Park 3. When you see it in Jurassic Park 3, you're like, that should have been like the set piece at the end of the movie.
Good point.
And
good
they
point.
Totally threw it there right in the middle of the movie, and there wasn't much left for that one. But they corrected it with this one because that last fight sequence was actually pretty fantastic.
It was amazing.
It was fantastic.
Definitely, no doubt.
Yeah. It got a little cheesy, but at the same time, you accept it because you know what? Yeah, at that point, it's going right. That crazy. You might as well keep
you're
going
either
with
on
it.
The ride or you're off.
Exactly. You know, and I feel like they earned it, like the way they earned the ending of it. I don't want to spoil it.
Sure,
but
sure.
Because
sure.
It's a nice surprise at the end. But I got exactly what I was hoping to get out of it. For me, some of the characters felt a little cookie cutterish. Like Vincent D'Onofrio's character, I've seen that character 100 times. The guy waiting for stuff to go wrong so they could step in.
Yep.
I've seen that 100 times. Bryce Dallas Howard left me a little cold, but Chris Pratt's just so effortlessly charming. It doesn't really matter.
He's
playing,
absolutely
does
charming. Yeah. He totally is. I want to go out and I want to have dinner with that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I want to buy him a root beer.
There's a reason why he's a leading man in Jurassic Park or Jurassic World right after Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. That movie hadn't even come out yet. He's already making that movie.
Can I say this? Do we see? I'll get to your review in a second. But do we see the thinly veiled attempt at turning Mr. Chris Pratt into Indiana Jones in that a little bit? I got that a bit when I was watching it with the vest and the shirt and the khaki and I got a little bit of that in there. I thought I was just waiting for
him. I'm dead certain that's why that name got thrown around a lot for Indiana Jones, and I don't want
to
see it.
I don't want to.
but I also don't want to see Harrison Ford play Indiana Jones again either. So
ooh, wow.
Not after Crystal Skull, sir.
Well, I have to say that you need to watch that again at home. It's much better than in the theater. I remember watching that in the theater and hating it. I watched it again at home and I liked it. So anyway.
Fair enough.
Have you watched it at home and hated it?
I watched it at home and didn't change my mind.
Wow! So. I totally did. It's crazy. Format.
Sure.
Jurassic World.
Yeah.
What are your impressions of this film, sir?
Overall, it was good. It was entertaining, very enjoyable. Certain characters didn't quite sit well with me, like D'Onofrio's character.
Right.
I felt he didn't even need to be in the movie, really. He didn't really stand out.
Just like Gannon, just exactly what you were thinking.
Yeah. But yeah, for the most part, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Right.
But there are worse ways to spend the evening.
That is true. Much worse. So, did you like the characters in the film? I mean, the dinosaurs, obviously, but did you enjoy the character interactions?
Interactions, yes. Although, I do agree with Barry, they could have used more setup.
Yeah.
Like it was, everything was centralized around the two kids. And then, boom, everything falls apart and...
Right.
Then we're, you know, on the roller coaster ride.
But you're at their house and then on the plane within the first 3 minutes of the film.
Yeah. I was just, okay. We're here now. All
right. Yeah. We're totally here. Right. So, overall, you had a good experience,
though. Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
All right. Well, here's my review. And please feel free to chime in as you will. I'm going to start...
Boo!
I'm going to start at the beginning.
Okay.
I say that
the point where you were angry and furious.
I was
right.
First off, the first 15 minutes. I was angry.
You're furious right? over a movie that doesn't open for 6 months.
All I kept hearing in my head was dun 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 dun. That's all I kept hearing in my whole time in my head. But seriously, the movie starts and I'm on board. I like that it jumps right into it. I did wish that there was set up just like the rest of you. I agree completely with that. I will say this about Jurassic World. When we start out in the film, I hated the two kids. Hated them. Mm. Absolutely hated them. I thought that the one kid was completely devoid of any character whatsoever, the big brother. And I thought that the younger brother was emotionally distraught and he needed to see a therapist. It's like, I didn't get it. And this was before even hitting the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Just like... why is this kid going to Jurassic World? He needs to go see a psychologist because there's some serious problems going on at home that need to be taken care of.
Their stories didn't really go anywhere either.
Yeah. They didn't.
They really didn't go anywhere.
They didn't go anywhere.
There was no resolution for anything to do with either one of them.
Yeah, they kept going back to Judy Greer. I'm like, oh, this is going to go somewhere and there's going to be some resolution.
Judy Greer had a better story arc
she
in the movie.
She did.
Than they did. She's not even on the island.
The mending, you could get the mending of the fences with the two sisters with Judy Greer and Bryce Dallas Howard. That's not a spoiler, by the way. That really rubbed me the wrong way. You know, when the kid is in Jurassic World and we see him on that glass monorail, and all of a sudden he breaks down on the glass monorail looking at the wonder that is Jurassic World, I was like, this kid needs to get off this thing. This kid needs to fly home. And this kid definitely needs to be talked to about what's going on at his house because they're just throwing their problems away and giving it to her sister. I was like, I totally had lost it for me. That totally lost it.
I'll bet you this goes back to what Barry was saying, though. There might have been a scene or two from the very start before they even left in the house that probably set it up a little bit better.
Good point.
So Barry's probably on
the kids are in the snack shop. You think Dad's having an affair? and test audiences are going, boring, dinosaurs.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? The little boy's hacking the Linux system. Like, no, we need to cut this out.
Yeah. I will say this. I did have, as soon as they hit the park, I will say that I had a bit of nostalgia, and I felt a little emotional when the music started to swell and I saw the park.
Oh yeah, I was there too.
I like that. I didn't like the fact. I thought it was a terrible camera angle. Instead of going through the gates,
we're watching it from this side.
And I was like, we're watching it from the bottom up. I was like. That was a bad choice.
I felt like they wanted to take their time getting to what you expect out of it, but there's no discovery to it anymore.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So they just want to show you... That seemed to me like they're literally trying to show it to you from a different angle.
True.
Because you've been there before, sort of.
Good point.
It seems like the park is far more commercial than it ever was in the intention. Like, the product placement, people are going to have a field day on the internet.
Oh, my gosh.
But it totally makes sense.
It does.
That's exactly what that park would be like.
Right.
And they flat out make light of it in that, not the conference room scene, but the control room sequence.
Right, right.
Yes, yes.
Where the guy's flat out talking about, like, we would call it a
Jurassic
Pepsi-saurus.
Park shirt, a Pepsi-saurus.
Yeah, they call it and he's not wrong. That's exactly
Don.
What would happen.
A Dorito Don. That was awesome. Speaking of characters, since we're on the boys, let me get off the boys for a second because they did start to grow on me towards the end of the film, and by then it was too late for me. I thought Jake Johnson was very funny.
Yeah.
In the character scenes, in those little character scenes, Colin Trevorrow is all over those scenes. That is totally him. I feel like those were his best parts, for me, at least. Jake Johnson was very good. He was he felt like a cross between between Samuel L. Jackson and Dennis Nedry in the sense that he was in the control room and running things and things like that. But he was more fun to watch on screen, I thought. So he did a very good job, and I thought those light bits were very enjoyable with him in them. I thought Chris Pratt did a very good job as Owen Grady. He did a good job. Bryce Dallas Howard and him, I thought...
No chemistry.
Yeah, they didn't have that. They had very little chemistry. I thought it was kind of cute because Chris Pratt was trying, but she didn't seem to reciprocate. You know, that kind of chemistry. They're playing off of each other as well. So even the kiss felt weird. Was that just me? That kiss felt
It was
really
more
weird.
Of a sibling kind of chemistry.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed with that because I'm a huge Bryce Dallas Howard fan. I got a huge crush on her. I think she's a terrific actress. Her character was kind of hilariously annoying at times.
Yes.
Constantly doing some profoundly stupid things. Profoundly stupid things. And obviously, this is supposed to be the character arc about how she becomes a very self-aware parent. These movies are all about like kids reconnecting with their parents or kids' loss of a parent or in the case of like Sam
right.
Neill, his character becoming like a surrogate parent over the course of these movies are all about like about surrogate families coming together.
Right, and I'm not giving anything away here, but those boys at the end of the show go home and see their parents.
Yeah.
And everything is reconciled, but they're still going to have to deal with the divorce.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's why I was like sitting there going... Ugh, this feels really ugly.
Yeah, it's like, do they go to the counselor for the dino attack or the divorce first?
Right,
it's like,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. I thought both the format and Gannon made specific light of this, and I completely agree. Vincent D'Onofrio felt like a mustache-twirling villain in the film.
Yeah, very snidely whiplash, yeah.
I didn't like him at all. He could have been completely left out of the film.
He could have been anybody in that role, too.
Yeah,
yeah,
anybody.
Exactly. He's so
anybody.
Much better than that everything
right.
else
yeah.
he's in.
I don't want to make this all political, but it felt like a thinly veiled shot at the military, which I didn't like. I thought that was kind of that kind of ticked me off a little bit. Like when they're sitting in this is not a spoiler, but when they're sitting in the plane and coming to the island with the military, with the private military or the security team, and they're so evil that they're flying over in the helicopter and they shoot the innocent dinosaur over the water, and it felt like the guy, he does that.
Well, let's be fair here. Like, that dinosaur was, that would have been one of the ones trying to eat people.
No, I
That's not really considered innocent.
I completely agree with you.
In that
agree.
Moment it was, sure.
Yeah, it felt that way, because once you realize what Vincent D'Onofrio was trying to tell them, he was absolutely correct. And yet they portray him as a villain, which I didn't think made any sense, because what he was saying was, do you want dead people on your resume, or do you want a park that is saved by these dinosaurs and by us? What do you want? But why turn him into a villain? Because he was making a point, you know. So that felt really crappy to me. I didn't like that at all. Overall, though, the action was good. The dinos were good. The cinematography was amazing. It looked amazing. Hawaii looked amazing. By the way, it was shot in Hawaii. Some of it. It was very well done. The park looked fantastic. Overall, though, I would say that now, according to what I understand, 2 and 3 don't exist, right? Is that how this works?
That's how the film played it.
Yeah. So 2 and 3 don't exist, and we get Jurassic Park and Jurassic World.
I think for the sake of this fourth movie to exist, they are ignoring the other two, because who the hell would even go to that island?
No one.
If all three of them actually happened.
Right?
No one.
Exactly.
You can't convince 20-something thousand people to go to that place.
Never. And it's really interesting that we talk about Vincent D'Onofrio, and it seemed like that the dinosaurs, the raptors, and even the Indominus Rex had more character than... the character and the private military that he
they
had.
Didn't do anything.
They did nothing.
They showed up and packed up and then left.
Left. Yeah,
that was it. Just, that's all they did.
That's all they did. Those dinosaurs had more character than those guys. And I felt like, and I thought that was very good. And like I said, the final fight leading up to, what led up to the final fight was very good. The action sequences were very good. And you are right. The continuity. There were cuts in that I felt were really strange to me. But I think there will be a longer cut by the time it comes out. We saw it in 2D. I would like to see it in 3D because I think there was a lot of foreground and background shots.
I wish it had been shot in 3D.
Yeah, I felt
it was
like,
converted.
Yeah, it totally was converted, and I think it would have been a better film in 3D, in my opinion. I want to see what it would look like.
Well, just the depth of field in Hawaii for one thing.
Beautiful.
Before you even get to dinosaurs,
right.
Yeah,
right.
That would look fantastic. Yeah.
So now overall, before we get to the last question that I have for everybody, Where would you put this on a scale of 1 to 5? Where are we putting Jurassic World here, Professor Barry? I'll start with you.
Oh, I give it a 3. I think it's a fun summer movie. I think it's one of the stronger summer movies so far. I mean, it's nowhere near the brilliance of Mad Max, but I'd put it up there with San Andreas. I think it's a lot of fun. I think it's a great popcorn movie, and I think it gets better as it goes along, which a lot of summer movies do not.
Do we see this being the top grossing film of the summer? Does your prediction hold true?
I think... As of right now, yeah, I think it's got a big shot. I really do.
Okay,
keep in mind your track record.
I can't wait.
In case you don't know what they're talking about, I honestly didn't think Guardians of the Galaxy was going to fly. Now, mind you, I made that prediction in May.
Let's be honest, though, no one knew.
That's true.
It looks promising, but promising doesn't mean everyone will get on board.
That's true. Listen, Gannon, stop defending Professor Barry.
They've been giving me crap about this.
In retrospect, he looks silly, but I mean, come on. When they said Marvel's been Guardians of the Galaxy, you're like, all right, now they're just being cocky.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. All right, so you're giving it a 3-star review.
I am.
All right. Gannon, sir, what about you? Where does this land in your 1-5
scale? I'll
give it
a 3.5, almost a 4, but it's only because I liked it much, much better than San Andreas. I'm sorry, Barry, but I liked it better than San Andreas. It was a much more fun movie to me.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
I have yet to watch San Andreas. I can't wait.
You've seen 2012, right?
Yeah.
You're fine.
Do you think it's better, though? Same ballpark?
Wow.
I like 2012 better, but that's just me.
Wow. Listen.
If you're going for a disaster movie, right, I think 2012 is delivers much better, because they're not just delivering to you an earthquake. They're delivering to
you see,
super volcanoes.
2012 has got John Cusack. San Andreas is The Rock. I mean...
But can The Rock drive a limousine through a collapsing street, through a collapsing building? I've yet to see him do that.
That's true. They haven't even done that.
He can hold it up, maybe.
That's right.
He can't drive it through it.
They haven't even done that in the Fast and Furious movie yet.
Yeah.
Good point. All right, Format, what about you? Where do you put Jurassic World on your 1-5 scale?
Well, going off of everyone else's ratings, I would give it a 4.
Wow.
Because I haven't seen San Andreas. So,
wow, all right.
I mean, you know, that makes the most logical sense.
That does make the most logical sense. All right, and finally for me, I can't give you a final one, but I will say this. I am toying between a 2.5 and a 3.
On the lower end.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Lower
end, really?
Mm, yeah. I was...
That Terminator preview just really screwed you up, right?
It did. That Terminator.
Wow. Maybe we're doing really this too soon.
Maybe
we should have given you a date.
I know. We should have reconvened next week or something.
It's time to heal like that little boy in Jurassic World.
Yeah. I tell you, man. Right. No, I'm that little kid. Great. Great.
The kid crying on the monorail.
All right. For the sake of this podcast, 3. 3 stars is what I give it. So overall, it was a decent summer film for sure. I think it lived up to most of the hype. Not all of the hype, but it lived up to most of it. And I think this is... And this leads into my last question for everybody. Where does the series go from here? Formats, as we start
it's
with Barry, where do we
going.
Go?
Oh, everything's coming to the mainland. No.
I would actually say maybe it might not be too far from it, because you see them taking all those embryos. They clearly have militarized plans for all these things.
Right,
crossbreeding is already on their mind.
Right.
So for all we know, maybe the next movie will be someplace in the mainland. They got a secret laboratory with these things.
All I know is the island is done.
And then
they can't do the island again.
Yeah, 4 movies on the island. They got to get it out somehow, some way. And I'm thinking, dude, just Planet of the Apes style with dinosaurs instead.
Oh,
there you
that'd
go.
Be good.
That actually isn't a bad idea. Considering the fact, well, if we're honest, we'd have to say that the first one was Isla Nublar, the Lost World was Isla Sorna, and then the third one brought us back to Nublar, and now we're at Nublar again.
That was strange. The second island never got brought up.
Yeah. Right.
They flat out say they raised them all there, but the second island just was glossed over. So
I was just about to say that. Yeah,
why I still don't feel it's a reboot, really, but it just feels like they just need to kind of glance over things so it makes logical sense why they're still even bothering with this idea.
Right, because in this film, it's funny that there's so much nostalgia that's touched on in the film. I mean, it almost felt like a gimmick by the time we had gotten to a certain part of the show, I felt. But you're right, that was the one thing that kept sticking in my craw was the Isla Sorna thing. I was thinking to myself, you know... They were saying that they had these paddocks around the island that were 4.5 miles from the park, and I'm thinking, you got another island over there that you should be breeding dinosaurs on, which we know about from the very first movie 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So I was like going, okay, well, we're not going to talk about that. So it's like, okay, well, maybe they're going to touch on it in another movie. That's where I thought, I think that's where we're going. That's what I'm guessing. What about you, Professor Barry? Where do you think we're going?
I'm ready for Jurassic Cruise, which will be like Speed 2 Cruise Control with dinosaurs.
That's awesome. Sense. That's what I'm ready for. That is awesome.
Well, they do go, you know, 50 miles per hour if they're hungry.
That is true. They do. They do.
And how scary is that? You're stuck. You're at sea. There's nowhere to go. You know? It's like Titanic with dinosaurs. I'm sure someone will pitch it like that at Universal.
All you're left with from there is dinosaurs in space, and
that's it. I would go watch that movie,
or
too.
You pick the movie up later, and it's just the Super Mario Brothers movie continuity.
They're Goombas?
Yeah.
Wow. Like that is awesome.
I can see it.
I will say this. I do wish that we saw a lot of land dinos. I would have liked to have seen more of the ocean and sea dinos.
There was only one. You would think they would have tried to find some more of the show.
That dino in itself was pretty impressive, I thought. I thought it looked amazing.
Did not expect it to play into the last act either.
No.
I just thought it was just like a cool little new thing they could show. I had no idea they were going to use that for the ending.
As soon as I saw the rail break, I thought, okay, now I know what's going to happen. Until that split second.
I will say they did a good job of showing you where everything was. They gave you a pretty good layout of the land you could keep track of where everything was.
They did.
Even with the continuity errors, you had a good sense of where everything was as the action unfolded. So that way you never really got like, where the hell is everything
happening?
You
know exactly where the Ben and Jerry's was. Exactly where they sold the Pandora jewelry.
Yeah. Where the Starbucks on the corner was.
There's a Brookstone. There's everything.
I wanted to see some more of the corny in-park movies. Like, what other, like, sort of like trendy celebrities are shilling out for these corny Jurassic World movies.
See, that's what they needed in this one. They talked about celebrities coming.
Yeah, they did.
They should have just. I mean, they had Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah,
that felt nice really strange to me, didn't it?
But it made logical sense to me, though.
Yeah,
it really did.
It did fit.
It really
did
make
sense
to me.
Those corny movies they show at Disney.
Because they already, like I said, they already set up that world where there's all this corporate sponsorship. They mentioned celebrities. So it made logical sense to me that they would have celebrities chiming in on some of the little
good point
videos going on instead of the Mr. DNA thing from the first movie.
Yeah.
He did show up, though. He was in there again.
Yeah, he was. For a split second, he was.
Yeah.
Well, overall, I have to say that it's definitely something that you should see in the theater. I saw it for the first time in the theater with the new luxury seating. I was a little tight.
Do you
want
to mention the name of the theater?
Absolutely not, but
I knew it. I knew it. You weren't going to go that
far. Those seats were a little tight for me. I mean, I have quite a big thighs, but I thought it was all right. But, overall, though, I have to say that I enjoyed the film, and I hope everybody here enjoyed the film.
So you'll go back to this theater, which will be unnamed, to see it in 3D.
I might. Maybe when I'm watching, when I go see San Andreas, maybe I'll make it a double feature like I wanted to do today. So,
nice.
All right. So, overall, we're looking at a 3.5-star film. I mean, if I'm looking at, if I'm reading everybody's, or averaging out correctly. Yeah.
You know, the scene where Chris Pratt, and it's in one of the posters, and it's a great poster, where he's riding with the Velociraptors. It's one of the most exciting moments of any movie I've seen this summer. That was such an exhilarating moment, and I think it's little moments like that, and there's a lot of moments like that in this movie that I think really capture the excitement that Jurassic Park needs to be.
Can I say this, and no one's mentioned this at all, and I'm not giving anything away because this was something that was mentioned very early in the production of the film. They didn't go with the human DNA thing. That wasn't even mentioned.
Right.
I knew. I was like, I thought that was going to be. I thought that was going to be part of the whole reason why the new dino was so intelligent.
Right.
So they tossed the whole human DNA thing.
Yeah. Have you read that script, by the way?
I have not.
Of the thrown away dress.
I didn't.
Form?
I only
oh
saw
God,
that.
Dude.
Was it bad?
Roger Corman would have made a great movie out of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I don't know if anybody else could have.
I saw the art for it, the mock-up.
Likewise,
of what
yeah.
The,
it
was
pretty nuts.
It was a crazy way to go with the franchise, and there's a part of me that wishes it kind of happened, but also at the same time not kind of happened.
Right. Well,
I don't know if the American public would have been ready to see that leap of faith with that franchise.
You're right. But then again, I think that's all what we're leading to here with all the DNA splicing that they talk about in this film.
Well, I mean, like I said, they kind of hinted at it with the Raptors having that headgear strapped on, mm-hmm. and they can kind of train them somewhat. So maybe they still have that in their mind to get to, but just a little bit more take their time with the idea instead of just jumping straight into it.
Well, just the idea of weaponizing the dinosaurs. I think that's a really provocative thing because it does. I mean, it is very good versus evil. I mean, whether it's the military or some faceless bureaucratic corporation, it is this idea of exploiting something that's natural and pure and turning it into something that isn't.
Right, that isn't, sure. And you know, the funny thing is, and one thing we didn't mention was, one character that we didn't mention, the man who's funding this Jurassic World thing, he felt too much, he felt almost more irresponsible to me than even Hammond. I felt that was a bit irritating. Like, we knew there was a problem 20 years ago, and you think you're refining this issue, and yet this guy seems to be more irresponsible than even Hammond was.
To me, it's because he's carrying on a legacy, and it wasn't really his dream.
Interesting.
You know, like, that's the way it read to me, that he was just, like, the guy that everything was left to, but it wasn't really his dream from the start of it. So maybe maybe a little misbegotten in how he wanted to carry it out. Sure.
Good point. I never thought of it that
way. That's the way I read it. You know what I mean? Right. Like, the way he portrayed it. Like, you know, he felt like he was carrying on this old man's legacy. But the reality of it was he really didn't have it. You know, he didn't really have it figured out. He had somebody else doing everything, for God's sake.
Exactly.
And you know what's funny is that my prediction for the film was completely wrong. I thought that Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard were the brother and sister from the very first movie. Yeah. I was totally wrong.
They're still theorizing that Chris Pratt's still the boy, at least, though.
Really?
But I don't know what the boy's name was in Jurassic Park. Does anybody remember?
I remember the actor, the Joseph Mazzello.
But I don't remember what his name was in that movie.
No. Yeah, I don't remember.
But if it was, I mean, he would say something. You know, it's like, the reason I trained these raptors is because they tried to kill me in a kitchen once.
Listen, lady, I've been here before.
It's like, I've been here, I've done that.
They would have said something. All right, so overall, Jurassic World, go see it. It's a fun movie. We caution you if you're going to take
the trailers.
The trailers, number one. The trailers! And number two, if you have young children, by all means... you may have to cover their eyes once in a while. It does get a little bit violent. Alika can attest to that with his own son.
I don't know. If you're taking your kid to see a movie with dinosaurs in, you have to expect them to see the dinosaurs eating somebody eventually.
Eating somebody eventually.
They're not licking. They're not trying to be friends.
Hey, it's not like they were riding them. Oh, wait a minute. They kind of were.
Did anybody think the movie was slow to get started? My buddy Shay, who came with me, he thought that the film was too slow to get started.
I don't know if it was too slow to get started. I just think, once again, it was a continuity issue.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel like it was slow because we were at the park in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was slow. I just felt like it was just jutting around instead of something being as cohesive as it could be. We're with the kids, and then we're with his aunt in the paddock with the new dino, and then we're with the rich guy, and then we're with Owen Grady training the raptors. It just felt really jumpy.
Yeah, the focus was strange because when Bryce Dallas Howard goes to the area that Chris Pratt is apparently living at, initially I'm thinking, okay, they're a couple, they're married, this is where they live, this is where there was such a disconnect.
Yeah. Until they say something.
Yeah, until the scene is darn near over, I understood the nature of their relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so overall, there are a few things, there are a few missteps in the film, but overall, very good. Yeah.
The boy in the first movie was named Tim.
Okay, so it's definitely not him.
Definitely not him.
Definitely not him.
Dang it. Doggone it. Well, what a bummer.
What was the name of Chris Pratt's character? Because did you know
Owen Grady.
Because the end credits, like, everybody just had a first name. It's like they didn't bother to give any of the characters last names, except for Dr. Wu.
Well, she kept calling him Mr. Grady.
She did. She did
Which
keep calling
bugged
him Mr. Grady. Yeah. Which bugged the crap out of him. Yeah.
Why do you keep calling me Grady?
All right, so overall, watch Jurassic Park. Now, listen. I'm glad we all watched together. I can't wait till we do this again. But before we go, there are two things I want to mention on a little more somber note. Today we lost two people. One who happens to be not only a terrific actor, a guy who I grew up with, and a man who made me appreciate Hammer films, was Christopher Lee, Sir Christopher Lee, or to most of you out there, Count Dooku. For me, he was Dr. Frankenstein, and Dracula, by the way. So
he was a Bond villain.
He was. I think he was in the worst Bond film with the best name.
He was also a Nazi hunter in real life.
In real life, yeah, he was Scaramanga.
Saruman. Right.
Yeah, he was Saruman as well. So
that dude did some living, man.
Yeah, he did. So, Chris, I put up a little memoriam for him on the Nerdwatch
page. Before we get carried away, we should also point out he also released heavy metal albums, too.
Yes, he did! He did!
And not ironically, either. Like, legitimate heavy metal records.
Yes, he did!
And he, at his old age,
no,
too.
At his old age. Right. I was going to say, he was in his 80s yeah. doing that stuff.
Amazing.
So, he was an amazing actor. He was amazing to see in the Lord of the Rings films, and oh, there he is. Wow, there is a whole memorial for him. You gotta post this. This is amazing. Wow. A Bond villain. He was Sherlock and Mycroft Holmes. He was Dracula. He was a Bond villain. He was Death. He was Lucifer. He was Count Dooku. He was Saruman. He was Lord Summerisle. That's right. He recorded a heavy metal concept album about Charlemagne.
Almost forgot the Wicker Man.
How could you, sir?
How could you?
He's amazing in that film.
Yes, he is. He hunted Nazis during World War II. He was part of a secret agent unit called the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
So British.
When told by Peter Jackson to imagine how a man being stabbed in the back sounds, he told him he didn't have to imagine it. He's fluent in English, Italian, French, German, and Spanish, moderately proficient in Swedish, Russian, and Greek, and conversational in Mandarin Chinese.
Oh, my
gosh. Like I said, man, that dude did some living in 93 years.
That is Mr. Christopher Lee, or excuse me,
Sir. He did not pass away with regrets. That guy did a lot.
He did a lot.
Yes, he did.
He got a lot done in 93 years.
So to you, sir, we tip our hat to you, and we appreciate all that you've done for the movie industry and how much we appreciate your work.
Yeah.
And secondly, the man that who inspired me a lot, because I am a huge wrestling fan, and he will never know the impact of his career on my life, and his and what he did as a performer. We lost Dusty Rhodes at a very young age of 69. He is, of course, he has passed on, but his two sons, Cody and Dustin, are still with us. And I just wanted to mention Dusty Rhodes because he was so impactful, and a lot of nerds like myself love wrestling, and I have a great affinity for the performance art of it. So to you, Dusty, I say, we definitely appreciate what you've done for us and how much we enjoyed watching you on the small screen as well. Because he is one of the legends of the business. We are here today because of guys like Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair, and that's why this industry is so huge.
He was a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, heck yeah, he was. He was.
Like, he had some of the most entertaining shoots.
Yeah, right.
Taking it to the pay window.
What? One of his famous sayings is, while the guys in the back are... what are they? What his famous thing was, when the guys in the back are talking and smoking, Dusty Rhodes is in the ring cooking and smoking. It's like, man, it's just coming up with crazy stuff like that. So big ups to Dusty Rhodes, and you shall be missed, sir, for sure. Anyway, gentlemen, we have been here for approximately 45 minutes. Hmm. It's been definitely fun. But before we go, I do want to mention that next week Tuesday, instead of a pod...
Oh, no. What? What is this?
Sorry, I'm not springing this on you.
I didn't get the memo.
Instead of a pod, Professor Barry came to me and said, let's do this, and I said, fine.
Isn't that hula hoop tournament you're talking about? I'm out.
Oh, you're out?
I'm out. Not going to happen.
It's just you and me now, Greg.
Oh, I guess it's you and me, man. Next week, Tuesday, we're going to be doing another commentary.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing the commentary for... there's the Terminator trailer again! It's on the television!
Eyes no! Not watching.
Anyway, close your eyes. Anyway, next week, Tuesday, back on track. Breathe.
Take it easy, dude. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay, dude.
Breathe.
You're with friends.
It's July 1st. You got some time to worry about
okay,
it.
Okay, good. Breathe. All right. Anyway, next week, Tuesday, we are going to be doing a commentary track for one of the most underappreciated films to come along in quite some time. I still don't think it gets its just due. We're going to be doing commentary on The Twilight Zone. The Twilight Zone, the movie. It was a debate between that and Buckaroo Banzai. But there is one person that we have to bring on board for Buckaroo Banzai at the insistence of Professor Barry.
Yep.
So we have to get in touch with one of our friends who would be doing it with us as well.
Let me just say, Bud, the friend who needs to be a part of this, I wrote a Looking Back article on Buckaroo Banzai a couple months ago. And Bud, I mean, I'm a big fan of that movie. I grew up with it, and I know it quite well. Bud, not only does he love the film and own a Yo-Yo Dine t-shirt, he personally emailed me and said, hey, these are the incorrect things you put in the article regarding the film.
Yeah. That's what he does.
He categorically schooled me about all the things about the movie that I was wrong about. And this is a film that takes about 40 viewings before you even understand what's going on.
The Oscillation Overthruster. Yeah.
So, Bud,
and it took me a while to get what the heck the Oscillation Overthruster was as well. So, Anyway, but yes, next week, Tuesday, Buckaroo Banzai, by the way, is coming up. We are going to do Buckaroo Banzai. That is without a doubt. Yeah. Gannon, I know, is on board for Buckaroo.
It's been a while since I've seen it, but definitely.
And by the way, we will be watching the director's cut with Jamie Lee Curtis, which she was cut out of originally.
Very nice.
Yes, 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 yes.
Excellent. That's been released. I didn't know that.
What?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I have it at home. I've got it, man.
I
got it.
I need to go pick that up.
It's fantastic. But yes, next week, Tuesday, Twilight Zone, the movie. So, Gannon, come with your Twilight Zone knowledge hat on, your cap on, and we'll do this.
Yes, sir.
Format, same with you, sir.
Yeah, I'm in.
Are you in?
Yeah, I'm in.
Commentaries are... Oh, man, I had so much fun last commentary. It was so much fun.
It was fun.
It was super fun, so I cannot wait. Professor Barry, you're bringing the movie this time.
Yes.
He brought it last time. Are we getting a decent copy?
It's a DVD copy.
It's a DVD copy. Well, yes. I think that's the only ones that exist, isn't it? Pretty much.
I think it is on Blu-ray.
Is it really? All right. Well, that's okay. It's nostalgic. We'll watch it.
And then I got my VHS copy. I could bring that in.
Oh, no, no.
Ooh, can you?
Really? You sure you can't get the reel-to-reel one working? Or is that okay?
Jesus.
We'll do Twilight Zone, the movie, next week. A commentary for one of my favorite television shows of all time. I love talking Twilight Zones. I've watched some Twilight Zones multiple times, the show and the movie. So I'm very, very excited about this. So, Matt, gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Please check us out at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. That would be greatly appreciated. We put up our reviews. We put up a whole bunch of articles. We didn't even talk about some of the things I put up there lately. Apparently, John Carpenter has decided to chime in on what he thinks of a remake for Big Trouble in Little China. We'll talk about that sometime. That's crazy. We'll put it up on the Nerd Watch. I don't know what he said. Anybody read that article yet? No?
Yeah, this is the first I'm hearing about it. He
says no.
According to what I have understood, the way the article went, he said, I don't care what they do. He said he was ambivalent as long as they pay him.
That's what he says about everything. He said it for The Thing. He said it for Halloween.
The fog.
He doesn't care what they do with it as long as he gets some of this.
As long as he gets some of that paper. I got it. Well, gentlemen, it's been fun. Let's get the heck out of here. Let's call it a night. It's getting a little late. I certainly appreciate you guys hanging out and being with us doing a little late pod. It was a lot of fun.
Alika keeping the store open.
Yeah, I know.
Alika, thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Want to send a big shout out to our good friends at Maui Comics and Collectibles. Make sure you check them out every Wednesday, New Comic Book Wednesday, here at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
333 Dairy Road.
That's right. Akaku Center.
It's right next to Hang Loose if you're into that.
Clever girl.
We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Format, thank you so much, sir, for coming. Always. Professor Barry, you got some reviews up that you got on Maui Watch, so we want to check those out, and on Nerd Watch as well. Yep. I got some reviews that I'll be posting. I'll be writing a review for Jurassic World. Yes?
Yes. Yeah.
I know I got one up. I've got to save the other two because everybody else.
It's not even that. Like, I feel so bad every time Barry puts up a new review because I'm like nowhere near. Right. But he keeps pumping them out, man. He's a freaking beast.
He's a beast.
Damn, how does he keep up with this?
You should have heard Nerd Watch last week, the podcast, man. My whole diatribe about how his reviews make me depressed.
Is it the writing?
I think it's the consistent. I think what depresses me is the consistent errors that are in his writings.
Oh,
maybe that's.
We're getting back to that.
I just wanted to be clear what it was.
What I said last week, what depressed me was, is that every time he writes an article, it makes me feel inferior to what I write.
There
it
you
just
go.
Bums me out. So I,
so it is the writing.
So it's the writing. Makes me feel inferior. So for sure. But anyway, we got articles that we're posting on Facebook.com/NerdWatch. Please like the page. Please enjoy it. We comment on that thing all the time, and we really appreciate you guys' support on it. And we really appreciate Alika and, of course, Maui Comics and Collectibles. Gentlemen, we're out of here, so let's call it a night, shall we? So until next week for our commentary track, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, we say to you,
Aloha! Aloha.